Well, welcome to Odyssey, and welcome to Economic History. This is our open day talk. Anybody have received your offer from us? Raise your hands. Okay. Otherwise, you are waiting for more information, I believe, right? Okay, my name is Ken Deng. I'm the departmental admission tutor of economic history. I run this, I've been in this position for how many years? 7 years? I don't know. Hannah is our undergraduate manager department. So this is a two-person team to run, this show. So each year we'll give students, hopeful students, a intensive talk about our courses, about our selection, about your future as well. So this will be about 40 minutes. Please relax, and if you have any questions, just stop me. So, because this is an open day for you, not for me. Right. So, should you have any questions, just raise your hand. Now, the topic why I consider economic history. So, this is a big topic. You are doing A levels. This will be pretty much the moment of the decision whether you are going to become an economic historian or something else. So I will run the talk in the following sort of a fashion. So 5 points, right? To begin with, we will talk about the discipline, and then why should you consider economic history at the LSE, and what will you be engaging at the LSE? And how do we make an offer? Very important, right? Take notes. And also life and career after at the sea. I've been at the sea since 1995. I worked so hard, my hair turned gray. So this is a place we work ourselves terribly hard, and we work students terribly hard. Now, economic history is a very distinctive field of study. It is an interdisciplinary study. You know economics, you know history, but when you put these two together, then it is us. We train our students in two major fields, economics and history. Also, we have a lot of sociology, anthropology, and because it's interdisciplinary, we do accept many other wide range of skills. So typically, we consider, for example, long-term growth, long-term development, economic performance, social welfare, and the wars, for example. And these things, if you like, are those the normally economists wouldn't consider, right? Especially we are very strong in empirical research, so everything we do will be based on facts instead of modeling. So this is a major difference. But other than that, you may say, economic history can be considered applied economics because we do use all the possible and available tools from economics. Right? So sometimes if you come to our lectures, they sound just like economics. Lectures, but our agenda or agendas are different, right? We consider the real world growth and development. for example, the approach of the Washington consensus versus the Beijing consensus. You know, how do you run your economy? How do you run globalization? Right. And the real thrust, in fact, in this department is research orientation. Our students can do a lot of research more or less independently. After 3 years, we due up, and many students become very good researchers of some kind. By the end of your BSA training, our students will obtain the following skills. The first one is to frame questions about very complicated social issues, economic issues, right? For example, to cut our interest rate or to maintain our low inflation or to support NHS or to privatize post office, Royal Mail, whatever. You know, all these mundane issues as well as global large issues, for example, should we consider G7 instead of G8 after Crimea crisis and the Russia's annexation of Crimea? What sort of policies we would adopt, tracing back to history itself? Secondly, we will teach students to collect and process information, especially data, both quantitative and qualitative, and then to tackle those issues with sensible theories and models of economics and social sciences. So this is very important for our discipline. Our students are very talkative and they are very vocal simply because they know a lot. So they know history and they know theories, right? So this is something we do, and the students are very proud of it. Number three, you will be trying to investigate patterns, changes, and causes, outcomes, and so on and so forth, in one country, in one region, like EU, in the whole world. So our students, at the moment, I'm supervising 10 BSc third-year students. Their dissertation topics range from pharmaceutical industry in the UK and the patent, the importance of patent, to East Asia growth and development. So you name it, whatever you do, as long as it is within our very wide range of choices, we will actually support you. Number four, to undertake research project largely independently, and to write a dissertation. So the dissertation is a major undertaking which will highlight your three-year training. Right? And it is very often the essence of our training at the end. Okay, now you know what is economic history. Right? It is applied economics, it has a lot of history, and it's very strong in empirical evidence and very strong in theories and models as well. Now, why consider economic history at LSC? The reason is very simple. Our economic history department is the largest in the English-speaking world. We have 20 colleagues, and we are a very specialized department. Even 20 is the largest concentration of economic historians in the English-speaking world. We have colleagues doing India, myself, East Asia, Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, Europe, North America. So we basically cover the whole world collectively. So 20 people for the whole world is very economical, very effective, right? We are ranked number one for academic excellence in Europe. So if you put these two together, we are really the best in the world, right? Really, really the best, yeah. As I mentioned, our expertise covers the whole world, not only the whole world geographically, but also the whole world in terms of humanity. For example, I do China from the beginning of the empire until the current Xi Jinping's leadership and reforms. So this is a sweeping long term of more than 2,000 years. And I take 1,000 years as the basic unit. So I have two units. That's what I do. Right? And also I do Tigers, I do ASEAN. So all this shows you that we are quite unique in terms of our take of the world. And also we have a complete training regime from BSc to MSc and to PhD and actually postdoc fellows. So you name it, we have the complete training. So once you get in, you may as well go all the way to the top, right? Any questions? No? Okay. I take it as, you know, content, and you're basically happy. Okay. What will you study if you get in? We run 3-degree courses. We may run 4, but at the moment 3. The first one is called single degree. Single degree means you concentrate on economic history. No other burden, if you like. It's called a V300. And we have 2 joint degrees. The joint degrees are joined with economics, real economics. Right. If you read the first joint degree, it's BSc Economics and, remember, and Economic History. So the and degree has more economics in it. So because the order. So economics and Economic History. The second joint degree is called BSc Economic History with, right? It's, we call it a with degree, with economics. So the emphasis is on economics, economic history. So it is between these 2 degrees, slight different balance between economics and economic history, right? So I'll explain this in some detail. So the overall degree structure for all courses, all degree courses, you will do compulsory economics and economic history in year one. So everybody is equal, right? And compulsory economic history course or courses in years 2 and 3. So this would really make yourself qualified as economic historian. So you need to do economics and economic history and a lot of economic history over the 3 years. For then we can talk about joint degrees. Now joint degrees have something else to offer. Mainly quantitative training. So joint degrees will have compulsory mathematics in year one and compulsory technical economics in the following 2 years, right? Technical means these courses will be taught in economics department, not in our economic history department, but in economics department, together with all the economics students. You'll be trained and you'll be treated like one of them. Right? There's no difference. Okay. And all courses also will have outside options at some point. Now this is the main selling point of LSE compared with Oxbridge. They don't have outside options. We have very strong belief that students should have the opportunity to go beyond their chosen course, so they can do, for example, how about year one law? How about accounting? How about sociology? How about international politics? So you can choose these subjects. How about language? We run actually Korean, Chinese, Italian, Russian, German, of course French, Spanish. So you can do these languages as part of your degree. It's called outside option. Right. What to expect? Teaching. Our teaching will be conducted with a combination of lectures done by your teachers, professors, and the students' own seminars or tutorials. So the ratio is roughly 1-to-1. For example, suppose this is a lecture. After this, you will be asked to group yourself in 3 rooms. So then you discuss what you have learned today. And you debate, right? Often you have presentations. Someone will say, okay, I learned something from this open day talk. I'm not happy with the following points. So LSE should improve to make the economic history department offering better. That kind of approach. And the student seminars are subject to some assessment. The final student assessments are normally done by either a combination of coursework and the final examination in this 70-30 split, or 100% final examination. So you are all A-level students, you know how to endure your exam, so it's not strange, terribly strange to you. So this will be the same kind of approach, right? You'll be locked up in the room for 2 or 3 hours. You have, when you finish, you turn in your essays, depending on whether it's a full unit or a half unit. Certainly we believe at LSE, classroom teaching is only part of your training experience. So how do people expect outside classes? A few things can be said here. Of course, teachers will run their office hours, and we have open door policy. You don't even have to be my student to turn up saying, I have a problem. Can you help me? And so they open, all the office hours open to all students at LSE. Occasionally, outsiders on London Street will turn up saying, can you advise me? I want to study this and that subject. I'm an A-level student. Sometimes we actually have them. We can't turn them away simply because it's part of our service, right? Almost like a surgery, just surgery hours. We do have a very well-designed student care institution. If you join us, you'll know we have departmental tutor and personal tutor. There are two different kinds. Under myself, I have 10 BSc students of various years. I have another 10 MSc students. I have 2 PhDs. So they really, really make my life so productive and tiring as well. They send me email constantly. I've been bombarded, even before I come in, a student third year saying, I forgot my essay. Could I do it during the break? So, that kind of situation. So I have to say, do you have a medical condition, right? If you do, yes. So here we are. So we closely monitor all your performance basically on a weekly basis, and we actually comment on your performance because we have this philosophy. We are here to enhance your human capital, to increase the value of yourself as a person. So when you finish, you'll be qualified. And so this is very important for us as well, because by helping you, we help ourselves. Right? Simple as that. Right? We want all students very, very successful, not only in the UK but globally. Right? And we also have student staff meeting and committee, and we monitor ourselves. Right? Because students will say, Professor so and so hasn't done his or her job, and then this will be quite serious. Or you can say, well, this professor deserves a prize. He or she is really, really good. So that committee actually is a feedback mechanism to make everybody, like ourselves, on our toes. We really have to work that hard to satisfy students' needs. Right, and also at the end of each course of the year, students will rank their teachers with the survey. And so far my survey has been pretty good. So, joyous. Yeah. Right, any questions? Yes.
And do you do like individual tutorials?
Individual tutorials, depending on the situation. Yeah. If you have a very small group, the smallest group I have ever come across is 6. It's almost like an individual tutorial. You sit down in your office facing every single student and we talk. Yeah. Otherwise, we have a tutorial group. A group will have about 15 students, but you do have personal attention, plus we have office hours. That's one-to-one. Yeah. Yes?
Is there less maths in economics history than normal economics?
Yes. Absolutely. I see you actually, you like economic history.
Yeah.
Very good. Yes?
Do you require any specific A-levels to do economic history?
I'll tell you that very soon. Any other questions? Yes?
How many essays are we being set? Like, is it 1 week or what?
The standard workload is for 20-week long full unit, you write 3 essays. For 10-week long half unit, you write 2 essays. So 3 and 2, depending on your situation. How long are they? They are about 1,500 to 2,000 words each. If you take 4 full units, then you're talking about 4 times 3, 12 essays of the year. So you have 20 weeks teaching. Basically, you're busy writing all the time.
Some
absolutely do. Yeah, sometimes if you're lucky, you have courses which are not exam. There's no exam, therefore it's complete coursework. Your dissertation will be completely coursework. Yeah, it is 1 full unit. Yes.
Yeah. With the economics
and economic history. Is the balance about 50-50 between the two subjects?
Yeah, yeah. I'll show you the story. Yeah, in a minute. Yes? We don't have videotapes. You can tape your teachers, and also we have a Moodle. Moodle is an internal telepath, so you can actually log on with your student ID, then you can basically DIY. Right? You can, you know, if you don't want to show up, you can actually watch at home. But this is really not the best practice, because you should get you know, this, you know, the feeling of the course, unless you're complete, you know. For example, what if your tube is on strike, touch wood, you can't come, so you can use Moodle. Anything else? One more question? Yes. Okay. Let's say this is a single degree. Some example. You do four full units. The first one is a compulsory one called Internationalization of Economic Growth from 1870 to the present day. And the second course is economics. You can choose technical economics or non-technical economics. Now, this actually shows the flexibility. If you are a single degree student, you're thinking of switch, then you really have to choose technical economics to give a try to see whether you can cope. Right? If you can cope, and other things being equal, you can switch to a joint degree. Yeah.
So, when do I switch? When can I get
out? The end of the first year. At the end of first year, we pretty much know whether you are the material to do the switch. We can tell you from your performance immediately. Actually, after first term, we pretty much know whether you can do it or not. Usually, the end of the first year, people start to switch. Yeah. Either way. Yeah. And then you have two outside options. You can do a language, you can do introductory law, social policy, international history, development, whatever. Language course or choice is very popular. We have such a range to offer, and it can be counted as a quarter of your degree. So if you stick to a language, let's say Korean, you can start from year one until year three, you'll reach a quite decent level of Korean language, or Chinese, or Japanese, whatever, yeah, French, Italian. So this is something we offer. Now, for the single degree, second year, you do another four full units, theories and evidence. This is your methodological course to train you how to use tools. And the second course, I used to teach this for 8 years, comparative economic development in Russia, India, and Japan. And recently, it has been suspended because of my gray hair, right? Because other younger teachers offer something else, but they are compulsory courses. Then you do the third course is economic history option. You can do business history, Latin America, early modern world, and so on. And so forth. And then you can choose either a paper of economic history or another outside option, be it a language, right? By then you'll be quite advanced, because this is your second year for that language, right? Now, the final year, You can take two advanced economic history options. They are boutique teaching, sort of small classes. At the moment, I have six students doing China's long-term growth and development. They all love it. And surely, I have to say that, right? And I'm hoping they all get a high B or an A in the end. And they've done three essays each. It is very research oriented. They have to read a lot. You know, each day they will have about two books. So they will be really fluent and well informed after 20 weeks. And for that matter, two of them decided to go to China. They love it. So I have to arrange scholarships for them to go to China to have a language training for 6 to 12 months. They are on the right track. One is British, the other one is an American. So here we are, it's completely international. Then you do a economic history option, the final one. This is your degree. You show up and show off your quality. One major research project, 10,000 words, dissertation. And you will think 10,000 words is a lot of words, right? But actually, most students think this is too short, right? They can do easily 20,000. They have to cut back simply because after this training, writing is no longer a burden. Writing, they enjoy writing. Yeah. Now move on. Sample curriculum. This is the John degree, economic history. Economics and economic history. So this is the degree, right? This is the 50-50 split degree. You still have to do the compulsory internationalization of economic growth. Now, then the similarities, and you do economics. This is a technical economics. Then you do mathematical methods. Then you do statistics. These are all taught outside economic history department. Right, so you'll be really, you'll be expected as any of the economics students in their department. In the second year, you do either micro or macroeconomics, again outside our department. You do econometrics outside our department. You do theories and evidence methodology inside our department. Then you do one of economic history paper. So this is a 50-50, right? Two courses outside us, two inside our department. Final year, you still stick to micro or macroeconomics. Then you do one more economics option. Now, this time you can do an outside option. So for John degree, undergraduate students, they have less choice for their outside option. Only in the final year, they will have the luxury of having an outside option. But for the single degree, you have outside option every single year. So after 3 years, you'll become a accountant, for example, if you keep going to do their courses outside our department. Then you do one advanced economic history option, like Africa, like East Asia, like Latin America, research-based. Then again, you do the 10,000 words dissertation, the same workload, right? Now, the with degree is something in between, right? It has less economics, more economic history. So this is really, three different combinations. So just quickly, for the WIS degree, the first year, you do the compulsory internationalization. You then do mathematical methods, economics, technical, and now you have one outside option. Right? So you start to have outside option if this is something you really want, and so on and so forth. So the second year, you can still have outside option, and third year, you can have micro and macroeconomics, advanced economic history, research-based. You can go back to second year to pick up a general economic history course, or you can have another third year course, so this is really flexible. Then you have 10,000 words research dissertation. So in a nutshell, economic history single degree, you only have economics outside our department in year one. For the joint degrees, you have outside teaching all the time. But for a and degree, you have outside option only for 1 year. For the WIS degree, you have the outside option for 2 years. For the single degree, you have outside option for 3 years. Right. So it's all worked out for you. So we have website links, and you can check all the detail is there. Now, life and career after LSE. This is very important. Listen, our students share the same employment and the career pattern with students from economics, period. Why? I don't know. But that's the pattern in past 10 years. Yeah. And in fact, before 2008, a large number of our students ended with working for the city. Not anymore. You know, it's not their fault. But even economics students, they can't get jobs that easily in the city. But they used to. Now our intake, this is already outdated, right? The most popular courses are undergrad, right? We have 22, and the second popular course is the single degree. For some reason, WIS degree is less popular, I believe, because if you are so good, you may just do the undergrad. And if you think you are not competent, you just do the single degree. So in the end, the WIS degree, although we hope WIS degree should be popular, is unfortunately not so. Now, from this year onwards, from October, we increase our student intake by 50%. We used to have something like 40, 45 students. Now, look this, we have over 60. And this is a huge... I actually try to lobby the director over the time, saying, you know, we need more students, please, please, please. All of a sudden, they say, yes. How many more you want? I said, 20 more. So they give us 20 more. So here we are. So it's worth the struggle. And indeed, so how to apply? Very simple. Do some homework. Your A-level should be good enough. Our standard offer is this, AAB. Do we use A, stars? Yes, we do. But AAB is still our standard offer. Most students join LSE with triple A's, so meaning they can actually improve their predicted score. Yes.
And what's the IB?
We will convert it. We'll convert it. I believe it's something like 36, 37. Yeah, I believe, you know, because I'm not doing the conversion, you know, conversion. We have a team to do nothing but international qualification conversions. They do all sorts of conversions. As long as you have a region, as long as that region has a name, we can convert it. Yeah. So I'm not expert in that, you know, department. And if you do join degrees, though, the A1A must be with your math. This is not negotiable. So you must be a mathematician to do the joint degrees. Yes?
Is it enough to just get an A in math, or will you do like a separate math test on the board class to do a triple? Like, does the ask people to sit like an internal math exam?
No. Just A-level math. We don't do interviews. We don't really even want to look at your ethnicity or family educational background. We are only, you know, we believe in meritocracy. It's all, you know, all depends on your performance of A level. Nothing else. Yeah. Yes.
Do you need any sort of further
math? Further math will be really helpful if you do joint degree. Or joint degrees, yes.
For joint degrees, if you have known for A, B with A maths, and you get A star B, B with A for A maths, will it balance each other?
Very good question. Normally we won't. Normally AAB or A star B, right? You can't trade between A star with another A or a B. There's no arbitrage, there's no barter between all the degrees. Yeah. So the standard offer is still not lower than AAB, right? These A's can be A stars. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So you do need maths even just to the same degree?
No.
No, you don't need maths.
Yeah. For the single degree, I mean, when you apply, you need to have a essay-based A level. It can be English language, it can be history. Yes?
I'm sorry, just to do a language, or should you have previous experience in that language?
No. Yeah, you can start from scratch. Absolutely. Like a beginner. Yeah. This is the case of Korean, Japanese, and Chinese. Yeah. You don't need anything, just yourself. Yeah.
If you were to do an application to both a single degree and a joint degree, do they get valued individually, or do they look at the fact that you've applied to both and then take?
Yeah, they will basically take your strongest performance and see whether you are better suited for a single degree or a double degree or a joint degree.
No. Does applying for two different ones, does it increase your chances of getting in, or are you automatically going to get only one of the two offers?
You can only... good question. So we offer the same person two degrees. Normally only one. Yeah. So you have to make up your mind. Yes. Remember, you can swap once you get in.
Yeah, but you have to do 1 year at least.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So the first year is really a year of trial, right? You test the water and you see which degree suits you better. Yes.
In our application, how significant is our unique marks?
How do you mean?
Like, when we apply, do you just look at the grades, or do you look into the marks? How significant is that?
This reminds me, in your application, before I forget, in your application you must say, whatever you say, you must say, I love history. If you don't love history, we don't love you. Simple. Yeah. This is a departmental policy. I don't decide this. Do I agree with this? Absolutely. Yeah. If you are not interested in history, this is not for you. Right? Try to think away why you want to be with us. This is a very good degree. terribly, terribly under-publicized because not many people know about this degree. And we share the same employment pattern with economics. It's, you know, it's really, you know, in terms of the gold content, it's just as good as economics department's degrees. And but you have to you know, commit yourself to history. And okay, yes, sorry, I interrupted your questions. Yes, go ahead.
How different is the first year economics between the technical and the non-technical?
Very different. Anybody is doing A-level economics? Your A-level economics in economics department can only last you for about 10 days. Yeah. You'll be completely overwhelmed with the mathematics. Yes?
So as long as you have one A-level subject, it doesn't matter what the other A-levels are?
Yeah, you must have one essay-based subject.
For example, I'm doing maths, history, economics, art, and German. So if I choose to do
History.
If I choose to do art as well, get A in art, for example, because some universities don't see art as a subject. So is that...
Do we count art as a subject? Probably not. Probably not. You know, we only count academic subjects, like, you know, household economy and cooking and that kind of, you know, hygiene, personal hygiene. We don't count. Sorry. Yeah. We do. Absolutely. Yeah. We do. Yes.
Would an A2 qualification in Bernard's make your application more nice? Would it be an AS qualification
by Bernard's BMR? For the
economic
and? We count the final UCAS A level subjects. Not, you know, halfway house. You know, you if you said, you know, well, I only did one year A level, but I'm not finishing it, you know, it's not counted as a complete A level, legitimate A level qualification. So you really, if you do math, you have to do the 2 year. Yeah, if you have further math. Is not counted as another math. It's just one math. Okay? So in a way, you know, further math will prepare you better for the joint degrees. But we don't ask for further math. We ask for math. Yeah. If you have further math, better for you because you will have a slightly, you know, easier life here. Yes. No, because you know, if you want to do a switch of a degree, talk to your tutor the moment you join LSC. So we will actually program you in such a way you will almost take the identical course of the joint degree, and then if you prove yourself, you switch. Yeah? Okay? Yes?
If I'm taking 402s, will I still get an offer for three grades and then we specify which three subjects they have to be in? Or will it just be any three?
Should be, we only count three.
Would you specify which three you counted, if that makes sense?
What are the four you're doing?
English, history, maths,
economics. English, math, history, and economics. Economics will be the first one to go. Remember, it won't last. Yeah. It's not really.
They're
not hard. That subject is not hard science enough. Yes, unfortunately. Yes.
If you wanted to go abroad to do any research for your dissertation or anything, is there any funding for that?
It can be. Yeah. It depends. I have a student. He's gone now. About 5 years ago, he got ESRC funding. For half a year.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Possible. Yes.
Is there any advantage of doing economic phase two?
Actually not. Unfortunately, there's no advantage. Actually, we say that openly. There's no advantage because we are going to train you at the LSC level. And this is really the frontier university to teach economics. Do you know how many economics Nobel Prizes we won? 14. Thank you. Well.
Right. A related question. If I was to drop economics, would it look bad if I'm kind of not
ready for
the subject?
Are you allowed to do four subjects in your school?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Look, that's a selling point at some, you know, at some point. If a fellow student sharing everything but not your four subjects, you know, the workload, you certainly have that edge because you're doing extra one. I know some schools do allow you to have an extra A level. Yes?
Is there any merit to doing five A2s? Is that just my comment?
It's not up to me, but it's up to your school, right? Then you choose the best three to get in, right? Yeah. So to recap, this is a very good department. We do very good degrees, and students are generally very happy, and they have all sorts of skills they can get very secure future, and also if you do consider us, please you do, right? Otherwise, what's the point to spend time with me? And in your personal statement, please write down word for word, I love history. Thank you so much.